Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You love the Lord tonight? Glory to God. Love Him with your whole heart. Hallelujah. That's what He's after. Amen. Glory to God. Well, I want to continue tonight. We've been looking at the sin offering and a little bit of the detail of it in the aspect of the Day of Atonement, in the Feast of Tabernacles. It was a feast that was specially characterized for Israel to participate in as a whole. Amen. And so we talked about on Sunday that the Lord Jesus, he definitely fulfilled this feast, didn't He? I guess we're all getting cranked up here. All right. So the Lord Jesus fulfilled the Day of Atonement, didn't He? In this aspect. And you and I must come to this understanding, the church must come to this understanding, that not only did He give His life, we must give ours also. Amen? There must be a people that go beyond the veil. They go beyond themselves. Amen? I liked on Sunday, at least I did, I don't know about you, but I like the fact, you know, I think the better and the proper way to look at the Day of Atonement, first of all, what does the Bible say the Day of Atonement is? It's a day to what? Afflict your soul, isn't it? And we talked about that. We talked about fasting, that what He's really after is fasting from the flesh. Amen? But I think a wonderful way to really look at the Day of Atonement is it is a day of what? Preparation. Amen? A day of preparation. And why a day of preparation? See, it's not an accident that God put this cleansing day right in the middle of the third feast. Because God is after a man that is without spot or blemish. Remember, we can talk about this. In Passover, Pentecost, it's God and man. But God is after a complete God-man. Like David declared, "Thou desirest truth in the inward part." So it's not just on the outside, but it's also on the inside. Amen? And so it's a day of cleansing. It's a day of purification. It's a day of purging. That God will be able to function within a people in all three feasts or all three dimensions without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. And the coolest thing we can come to this understanding is a people who truly overcome or come into this full booth experience, Christ dieth no more. Amen? And I'm not too religious or too political or get all caught up in any of that kind of stuff too much, but I'm going to tell you, the world, I think our country declared this just in victory. The real desire for change is not on the outside. It's a groan from the creation for the manifestation of the sons of God. The church, Hillary, has promised all this stuff from the left. Love and all this kind of stuff, but I'm telling you, what God's really after is a man, a corporate man that will fulfill His word. But in order to have a booth that He can dwell in, it must be without spot or wrinkle or one that cleanses. Let us cleanse ourselves. Therefore, dearly beloved, having these promises, don't do what you want. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit. Amen? Are you with me? Are you all right? Can you hear what He's saying to us? It's not a church system that will satisfy us with all the things that we desire and want to hear, but it's a church that God has within a church, a true ecclesia, a people who will I was listening to some music on the way to work this morning, and I heard the song a million times, and it just really struck me in a new chord or a new way. Hey, He gave His life for us. But He became us so we could become Him. So that we could give our life. And the thing that we're long on is word. And the thing we're short on is deed. And I believe it with my whole heart, as sure as I stand here, there will be a fulfillment, an experience of the full tabernacle that is birthed because of people. Right? We already said this. After 10, what did Jesus say in Revelation? For 10 days you'll have tribulation. The 10th day of the 7th month is a day of atonement, a day of afflicting our souls. But more important than that, it's a day of preparation for day 15. Isn't it? A celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles. Amen? Are you all right? You okay with that? Are you sure? All right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Feast Day of Atonement, it is a picture of a people who break through the veil of the flesh. Now, I'm going to tell you what. Man can do a lot of things, but breaking through the veil of the flesh can only be done by the Holy Ghost. You all right? When you have all the right and all the power to do exactly what He wants and then do it. See, the thing that we don't understand is He went through this whole walk in life. At 12 years old, He knew, didn't He? He really did. But He had to be mature to grow up. Isn't that what it says? He grew in strength, in the spirit, before God and man. And the reason He had to grow was because He knew He was coming to a day that everything around Him would be against Him. In what the purpose was from the beginning. He has become our pattern. Don't seem too excited tonight, are we? Everybody must be as tired as I am. Are you with me? Come on, He's our only hope. He's our only purpose. He must be our only desire. See, what we really haven't, when we talked about this on Sunday, the true fasting is fasting from this life, that we might express all of His life. But He wants to do this, not in an unclean or partial vessel. Thank God we're tasting of this feast. But the reality is He wants to come to be a full indwelling member, not of just individuals. Jesus, I could have the Holy Ghost. We all have the Holy Ghost. But you know when the Holy Ghost is really functioning? I'm going to tell you what, we cannot be complete. We can't even come to the full stature. Remember what Jesus said. He says, the reason you have all these issues is because the hardness of your heart. Amen. All right. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter. No. You know what? Yeah. Turn with me to Hebrews 6. No, I take that back. Turn with me to Leviticus 16 first. We read this, I already know, but we'll read it again. All right, Leviticus 16. I actually have a point tonight. And I'll try to be short. I don't know about you, but seriously, I'm not kidding you. If we come to this understanding, it'll revolutionize the way we think. The Day of Atonement is a day of preparation of the fulfillment of His purpose. It's not just me, you know, it's a day, I gotta afflict myself. No. It's a preparation of what He really wants in our life. And you and I must grasp the reality of this. If we do not put it, He'll just keep going. He's a forever God. He has all the time in the world. The problem is you and I don't, no matter what our doctrine is. Are you all right? So we understand that there is, and I told you this, I already told you this. Listen, who went into the holiest of holies? The high priest. And so what God's after is not just a priesthood. He's after a royal priesthood or a high priesthood. He's after a whole group who will enter in beyond the veil of the flesh. Listen, I know this is so true. Well, so many folks are looking for change and have hope in change. I'm telling you, nothing will change as long as Adam is still doing his thing. The only thing God is after is the change in a man. And He's not after just partial change. He's after the whole spirit, soul, and body. What do you think He's dealing with? It's funny. You know, I didn't tell. I was listening to Dad the other day, and I had just mentioned the exact same thing here. Where's the battleground? It's in the mind. So a priesthood that goes beyond. Okay, now watch this. Verse 11. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, because we're talking about the sin offering, aren't we? Which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. Now we know Jesus fulfilled this, don't we? Hello? He fulfilled this. Not only was he the high priest, he not only did it for himself, so to speak, he also did it for his house, hello house, and he also was the bullock. Is Jesus the priest or was he the bullock? Yes! He's the all in all. He fulfills everything. Now watch this. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. Now watch, I wanted to read this verse, I forgot. Jump all the way up to verse 2. You ready? I read this, you know, some time back. And the Lord said to Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Now we see down here in verses 12 and 13 that Aaron had to come in with censers and hands full of incense, didn't he? Hello? Where did God say he'd meet us? Where did he say he'd meet us? In the cloud above the mercy seat. Now I have a question for you. How was the cloud created, or who created it? Now he said God himself, but I understand that concept. But you know something? Aaron had to bring the censer and the incense and bring it into that place. Didn't he create the cloud? Now I think I have you all stumped. Listen to me. If you and I come into this understanding that the cloud that is created is where he dwells. Now if you want to talk about the cloud on the outside, but I'm talking about inside the holiest of holies, he had to bring something in there that would create the cloud. And what he had to bring in there, watch this, was praise and prayer. And the thing about the Day of Atonement, and we've done the exact opposite in the church, it's supposed to intensify to create a greater cloud so that he can dwell in it. I'm not talking about with human strength. I'm talking about with all the things that God gave us. Now, we can break down the incense, and we can find how it got beaten, and it was small, and all that. Listen, we don't pray enough. How about clean prayers? What? You can't hear? Oh, sorry. Are you with me? I don't know if everybody's with me. A lot of distractions tonight. Are you with me? Come on, can you hear what I'm saying? Listen, they went in beyond the veil with the censers, the live coals. Does anybody know what the word for coals is? It's anthrax. It means living coals or burning coals. They're alive. They create light and heat and I don't think I'm making my point enough to you. I'm really, no, listen to me. If it's a day of preparation of one cleansing his soul, the way it gets done is when you go in beyond the veil of yourself and you pray and you praise with inside this holiest of holies, or this tabernacle, and all of a sudden it lets loose a sweet fragrance or a cloud, and he meets us above the mercy seat, or he meets us in this place, in this dimension, then all of a sudden things will begin to change. And the problem with this is we've not willing to cleanse or purify ourselves, or really to intensify a prayer life. When I leave this place, I want to go out of this place. I'm not talking about just this room. Out of this dimension with only one thing in mind. My God in heaven, I am preparing a sanctuary that God, you can dwell in without spot or wrinkle. And how it comes about, watch this, fasting. Remember the whole section about, we talked about it, fast from this life, but just before it, he says, if you pray, go in your closet. The closet is the most holy place, that it creates a smoke or a cloud with an incense, an intensity of heat and light and fragrance. And I want to preach, but I got to go find someone that wants to hear me. Are you with me? Seriously. I'm going to tell you what, this will change the world. This will change our lives. The reality is we will not blend together until we become coals that are willing to break through. Watch this. After the order of Melchizedek, a high priesthood, after the order of the ranking, all right. See, we think we don't even have to pray anymore because we know so much. Or we have to pray for stuff. Then listen, the only thing we need to be praying for is more of Him. A release of who He is. See, what we don't understand is, watch this. Do you remember when Moses said, listen, clothe Aaron and his sons with all this type of clothing, he said, and that will be for glory and beauty. But the minute they went in to the most holy place of the whole, they had to strip off all that who they were so they could step beyond the veil. And all of a sudden, the only thing they could wear was the linen breeches or the righteousness of God. Are you all right? I'm telling you, there is a golden censer ministry, and it shows us that worship and a prayer life must intensify to produce the cloud of His glory in the booth. It's going to cost you something. It's a day of atonement. It's a day when I say, not my will, but thy will be done. And the real truth of the matter is, we cannot go out and make this happen. Blessed is he who hungers and thirsts after righteousness, or those righteous clothing, so that you can enter in into the fulfillment. They shall be filled. This is all he's ever been talking about, is fullness of who he is, not in an unclean vessel, but in a clean vessel. Thank God for our forefathers in Passover and in Pentecost, but he's after a booth. A tabernacle, one who has cleansed himself. You remember in the Old Testament, before they went in the booth, what did they have to do? It said to stay away from your wives, right? Don't touch a woman. What did that mean? No soulish activity can enter in to this tabernacle, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Are you all right? See, this isn't just a message. This is a path. I don't mean to be mean, but could you imagine if a church, a people, could get just as worked up about prayer and worship and the intensity as a nation can about a presidential election? I'm not throwing stones and I'm not picking. But we know everything about everything, but we don't know Him like we should. I'm not throwing stones and I'm not picking, but I'm telling you, I'm hungry for what He wants. I want to know what it is to have 2 million people march around a wall and see a whole city fall. I want to know what it is when you speak, it happens. I want to know who He is in an experiential realm, not in a short, small, minute apparatus, but in a complete dominion, whether it's in the body, out of the body, up or down, wherever it is. Because Paul said, am I in the body or out of the body? I don't know. All I know is I was caught up into the third heavens. Or watch this, the holies, the holies. I was in a cloud. And I'm here to tell you tonight, I'm here to declare this every single day. Listen, Paul said, let us fear lest we come short of His rest. Oh, wait, day 15 of the Feast of Tabernacles. You can't get to day 15 without day 10. We must intensify. God, I'm here to tell you, is not going back to reproduce anything, because all He's ever been doing is producing something of His own heart. Are you all right? Well, let's go home. I guess you guys are. I are. Can you hear Him tonight? Turn with me to Job 9. Job, brother Job. Job 9. Are you there? Is it high in here or is it me? I hear yes, I hear no. The thing says 75 and it's up to 76 already. I don't know what the deal is. Here we go. Verse 33. Job 9, are you there? Everybody there? Before I go too far, what did the priesthood have, the high priest have to do? He had to do what? Both hands, full. Well, I think I'll just bring, no, full. Full represents fully intensified or enwrapped in what you're doing. And He said hands, didn't He? Now watch this. Verse 32, for He is not a man, as I am, that I should answer Him, and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any days man between us that might lay his hand upon us both. What is He saying here? What's Job saying? There must be a priesthood that is able to take and connect, watch this, man and God. Is exactly what Jesus did when He broke through the veil of the flesh and became the sin offering for you and I. And as our Father, who does desire His Son to follow in His footsteps, Peter said, He is our example. Listen, the intensity of Jesus' prayer life flourished in the Garden of Gethsemane. Hello? Come on. We always saw him praying, going up into the mountain, getting up early. But when he was in that garden, he was praying with great intensity that it says it was like sweat, it was like blood that, come on, it burst through the veil. Yeah, you're talking way out there, preacher. No, no, no. I'm talking, this is his purpose for us. Watch. Listen, remember what he said? He said, listen, tell Aaron only to go in there once that he, what? Die not. Come on, Christ dieth no more. Enter into that place. No, no, enter into that place that Christ dieth no more. Are you all right? Now, can you hear what God's really saying to us? Maybe he's just talking to me. I'm convinced with my whole heart that God has not changed his plan. No matter how many messages come along, no matter how many different generations come along, God has not changed. Come on, we just had what? What is he, the 45th president? I mean, come on, that's in a short 200 and some years. I'm telling you what, God has not changed his plan from the beginning, from the foundation of the world. He said, I'm going to create a man that's going to walk in the earth and express everything that I am. We've never understood why, hey, we wouldn't give our son to die on a cross, but it showed the extreme of who God was to show the extreme of who God is. Not only, listen, doesn't it not say, he kills and he makes alive. And the reason for that is that we could understand the great depth of how wonderful his love really is. Are you okay? Can you hear what he's saying? I'm telling you this day, the creation is groaning. Can you hear it? I don't hear it. I don't care if I hear it or not. You know, I was listening, and I was listening to Sister Tammy on, you know, and she told this story a couple of weeks ago. It just cracked me up. And this morning when I was walking at work, I heard it again. I could hear her voice saying this. She goes, she told a story about she's deaf, right? She wears hearing aids, and she didn't want to hear her mother tell her, so she just turned her hearing aid off, and she said her mother gave her a cup. And you know, how many times do we turn off our hearing aids so we don't have to hear God? And we think God can't tell. And she thought she got away with it until she felt that cuff up alongside the head. Don't you ever do that again. It was funny. You have to hear her story, how she said it. But I was walking today during at work. I was going somewhere, and I could hear it. How often do we turn off our hearing aid? Because we really don't want to hear God in what he really has to say. We only want to hear God in what we want him to say to us. And that's fine. He will meet you there, and he'll find you there. But he's looking for a people who love not their own lives unto death. He who loses his life. Come on, it's a day of atonement, but the day of atonement is a day of preparation because he has prepared for us. Therefore, dearly beloved, having these promises. What promise? Come on, it's the blessing that's been poured out from the head all the way down. It's the life, what? Forevermore. It's Christ dieth no more. I don't care where we read it, how we say it, and what kind of thought we have. It's always the same picture, that God has a man who will be clean and break through the veil of himself and maybe will be able to express all who he is, and all who he really is life. He's life. He's life. He's life. He's life. He's alive. Most folks, God's not dead. We sing the song, or people do. But I'm telling you, the reason most folks don't know if he's dead or alive is because really the truth of the matter is the church isn't too alive to his purpose. You know, the funny thing is, you remember the woman at the well? Five husbands living with another one. You know, the real truth of the matter is, she had an inner cry and was always trying to fulfill it in the natural. And far too many folks, whether they're believers or unbelievers, have that same inner cry and always trying to fulfill it in the natural. This is why the creation groans. It groans for what? It's a groan from the throne. It's a cry from God. Watch. God sent forth the Spirit of His Son where? In our hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, just place me where you want me. This way the hand can't say to the eye or to the, geez, I wish I was this instead of that. I wish I was here instead of there. I wish I was up instead of down. Are you with me? I promise I'll stop preaching on the Day of Atonement. But I'll tell you what, it's gripped me. It's not, everybody looks at things so negative when you start talking cleansing and repentance, but the reality is it's a refreshing that God is after something. And that's a booth. It's a tabernacle, not of one. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. How many of you like living in a dirty house? And you don't even mind your own dirt, right? Oh, hallelujah. But if someone else's dirt and you... Right? Did you hear what it really said? But God's not interested in living on our dirt either. You ready to go home? Can you hear? If I don't make any emphasis tonight, the one thing I want to leave you with, I really do. As we move into this place that He has for us, this Day of Atonement, this day of preparation, our prayer life and worship life should intensify and not become melancholy. And the thing that will cause it to be melancholy is this. Like the parable of the seed, the cares of this life. Set your mind on things above. See, listen, while everybody was wondering who the president would be, Steve texted me. He said, what do you think? I said, I'm sure you're talking about the election, but I have no clue who won. It isn't that I had anything invested or not invested. I do care. But I'm telling you, I care more what he's after because I believe this. A nation can be born in a day. A son can pop up out of obscurity in a moment. And if a people just would lay hold of him, it'll change everything wherever you are. And every problem will then have a real solution. With, watch this, not just words, but reality. Not a hookah-mashai from the past. Are you all right? There must be a people who will lay hold of God so that they can lay hold of humanity. Watch. Not in the way we've been doing it. That's not a criticization. I'm not being critical at all. I want to see, what is it, Isaiah? It's funny. I heard Dad say this the other day, and I just said this myself. It's like, were you listening to my message? But listen, Isaiah, it says this, doesn't it? He says, all we've done is we've brought forth wind. The the inhabitants haven't fallen. People haven't. Good God in heaven, the church hasn't changed. I haven't changed. The Bible says knowledge puffs up. I really do believe this more than anything. God's just waiting for us to humble ourselves. And you know how you humble yourself? Watch this. Real, genuine, sincere, intense prayer life. You become a burning coal that can bring forth an incense that will create a cloud. And he'll come and meet you there. Well, the church is waiting for Jesus to come back so we can be caught up in a cloud in the air. The cloud that needs to be created is a church that really knows how to touch the heart of God. I'm not being critical. I'm trying to encourage us tonight that we will move forward and not backwards. See, really, the nation wants change. But only true change, it can't come in Adam. And it isn't, listen. Some folks think if we put a bunch of Christians in a bunch of positions, that'll fix it. Christians can't even get along in the same church. The change has to come from the inside out, not based upon my opinion or yours. He never asked me what I thought or what I wanted. He just told me to obey and do. Are you all right? Well, hallelujah. Hey, that's good preaching, preacher. God is after a people that will move into the holiest of holies. A people who will break through the veil of the flesh. I could go read all these other verses, but I'm belaboring my point tonight. Abraham looked for a city. He didn't look for a new president. I'm not criticizing. This becomes just food for fodder for me. He looked for a city. Do I believe in praying for your... Yeah, I do. I guarantee you that most of that's talk. It really is. And the thing that we really need to understand, son, is this. This isn't about me. It's all about him. Not what God can do for me. We've turned into a nation of an entitlement in what my rights are. I always remember David Huskin said, the church already got theirs 2,000 years ago. It's time for God to get his. And what he wants is a people who love not their own lives. We've not fasted. I've not fasted. Well, is there anything wrong? I don't know. Those are not the right questions for me. Is it any wonder Paul said this? Avoid vain questions. And is it God's will or not? It's irrelevant. I only know of God's will in one place. It says this, that all men should come to repentance, that no one would perish. That's what he's after. And the only way I know how that can happen is when you come into a place where no one can die ever again. Christ dieth no more. Right? And as sure as I stand here, God will have a first fruit company. He's going to have a first fruit. There will be a people that will break through. Listen, he already broke through the veil of the flesh with Enoch and Elijah. But he's not after the individual anymore. He wants a whole crowd to go through at one time. That I believe will feed those who refuse to cleanse themselves. Isn't that what Revelation 12 says? Those are just a group that will just, you know, I believe it, but I won't, you know. If I don't leave you with anything tonight, I want to encourage us. I really do. I'm telling you, the creation's growing. We just need to turn our hearing aids back on. I'm telling you, can you imagine this? I read this article the other day. There's so much that just sickens us. But it's just the creation that groans. A man wanted to marry a woman and she refused. So he shot and killed her. Another guy got his girlfriend pregnant, so he decided, hey, get an abortion. She said no, so he killed her. It's the creation groaning. And because these things, quote unquote, don't affect us, we don't realize it really is affecting us. Because what it really does, it desensitizes us to what Christ wants. And who Christ really is. And we've wanted Christ. I've wanted Christ on my terms. Preacher, what's wrong with you tonight? I see a promise that's just sitting there waiting, bigger than a bank account, saying, will somebody come and make a withdrawal? But the only way you can make a withdrawal on this one is everything has to be right. Because flesh and blood can't have this one. Because all it will do is spend it on itself. God, fix my body, fix my mind, fix. No, no, no. God says no. God's after something, isn't he? He didn't die in vain. He didn't. He paid a price. So you and I, not to be, you know, hey, winds of doctrine. You know, I was telling my friend today, he was asking me about it because he was reading Ephesians 4. And it was no more children tossed to and fro. The word children there, it's not even technon. It's infants. It's a little baby. Let alone we us. By every God, the church is gullible. It's believed everything the church has said. See, we don't realize that God's really talking and he tells us not to turn off our hearing aids. You ever read in the Proverbs where it says, buy the truth and sell it not? Mm-hmm. We're always selling. Because we think the next thing coming along is better. But God has never changed the truth from the beginning. Let's stand. I've wore you out. Are you all right? I'm serious. This is the burden of my heart today. This is a burden of my heart. It has been for the last couple of weeks. It really has. That the day of atonement is a day of cleansing because it's a day of preparation for the ultimate intention of God, and that's a people who have come through the veil of themselves. We can't even get out of our own way half the time. You know what concerns me? I told you this seriously. This really does concern me. We're a church of familiarity. It's either dad or this or that or, you know, whatever. But you know the truth of the matter. Remember in Ezekiel when it said this? Hey, they'll want to hear you, but they won't do it. They won't do it. And I'm not talking about just you. I'm talking about me too. I still remember this. I lived on 19th Avenue, and I've never forgotten. Do you remember when you were way back in the Presbyterian church and you had that guy come from Texas about prayer? What was his name? Lee or whatever his name was. But I still remember him. I'll never forget. I was listening to the cassette player. That's how old it was. And I remember walking through down the two steps, and I heard him say, we need to learn how to pray, P-R-A-Y. And the minute he said that, I heard the Lord say, prayer requires a yielding. We have to yield to it. But it has to be intense, not according to the flesh, but according to His Spirit. Father, we love you. Father, I apologize if I offend anyone. But I pray tonight, God, that the power of your Spirit would stir our hearts. That God, you would stir us. Stir us, God. Father, your word says you're going to shake the heavens and the earth so that everything that's unshakable can remain. And God, all this comes out of an endless life. So I pray tonight, Father, help me. Help us tonight, God, that we may, Father. I believe in God that you marked us, you chose us, you purposed us, God, for this. I believe it, God, with my whole heart. I pray tonight, God, that we would lay hold like never before. You know something? I'm not concerned so much about the next generations because God's in control. I really am not. Well, what if their lives are a mess and the nation's falling apart? Then I know that up out of ashes can come beauty, the beauty of the Lord. And He's going to, as sure as I sit here tonight, He's going to have what He's declared. No matter what I see with my eyes and hear with my ears. Because I know the only hope and solution is a Christ man. Head and body, and the creation is groaning for it. So Father, I say, seal this word. It's an imprint in us, God. That God, I have come to declare it, to glorify your name. You know when Paul said this, I can't stop, but you know when Paul said we were taken from the mother's womb? He was taken from his mother's womb to reveal the Son. He wasn't talking about just himself. He was talking about you and I. The corporate. Remember, I always wondered why he said this. I show you a mystery that we shall not all sleep. He understood. He knew how to identify with a group of people that weren't even in the earth yet, that they would lay hold without ever tasting the grave. He never separated himself. Hey, look at, no. He knew how to identify. Lord, help me tonight. We love you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord Jesus. And all the saints say amen and amen. Help me, Father.